We have made contact with Super Agent Scott Boris. He joins us now on his way back from, he was at Wrigley actually all day long. Meetings, get the contract done, and Chris Bryant is now officially a member of the Chicago Cubs. He'll be headed off to Arizona for some work and then off to Boise to begin, as he said to me today, begin my journey back to the friendly confines. And Scott joins us now. Scott, thank you for taking time. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Chris Bryant, I interviewed today, exceptionally nice young man. What do you project for him? You know him as well as anybody. What do you see his ceiling as?
Well, we think Chris is going to be someone that has an opportunity to, because of his power and because of his athleticism as an infielder, that, you know, he has a chance to, I think, put himself in a position where, you see a lot of quality major leaguers, and that is where they're the ability to hit 25 to 35 home runs and play an infield position. And there aren't many of them, but we think Chris falls into that class.
Was there ever a point, because people in Chicago were getting nervous. The deadline comes up today. He hasn't signed. Mark Appel had already signed. And people are like, great, we're going to lose the number one pick of the Cubs. Was there ever a point in the negotiation where you thought, this might not get done?
I can never predict whether things are going to get done or not done in a process. I do know that, you know, in the history that, you know, Theo and I, we communicate pretty clearly about things. And I think he was fully aware before he drafted Chris where, you know, what his value was and such. And in this current draft system, it's a pretty favorable time for a team to get a talent like Chris, because the system does not in any way reward players to the level of their true value as we've seen in past drafts. And so so I think it's a measurement, as long as the player is willing to stay within the system, that really serves a value point to the teams that they don't often get with players like this.
Scott, I said this to you at the ballpark, and I'd love for you to respond. You have a lot of people, Greg Maddux being one, who says, guy's the greatest. Chris Bryant today loves you. He said, the guy is my support system. There are a lot of others that are critical of you. Yet in the end, when people say, Scott wants this for this guy, 99% of the time, your guys seem to get what you say they're going to get, even though your detractors don't believe that it's really something that's feasible. Do you laugh at some of your detractors? Does it make you chuckle when you say, so-and-so is going to get that much money, and he does?
Well, I think our job is that, and I think it's very hard for fans and for journalists to look at markets, because the premise and the information they have about the value of an athlete is primarily based upon last year's values or 5 years before that, those values. And in sport, values are based upon the revenues and what those revenues now bring for a particular performance. If the revenues go up, the value of the performance goes up. If the revenues go down, the value of the performance goes down. And so in situations where you've got a revenue stream that is consistently and annually increasing, when you're asking for more for a similar performance, that does not exactly wed you closely to fans of teams, because they're always asking why you're asking for what you're asking, and they don't have an in-depth understanding of the revenue base, because it's not something that owners publish. We do. And also it's something where, you know, the amounts of sums and such that players are receiving are they're large sums of money. And obviously someone saying, well, how could you ask for millions to play a sport that they love? And then the next year it's more. And then I understand that from a fan voice, but there's a very empirical formula that's used. And the key dynamic of fairness that we look at is that if the revenues go up, the value of the player's performance goes up. And so that quid pro quo between the owners and the players, it remains to be about a 50-50 proposition.
Do you look at, we're talking with Scott Boris, maybe the biggest name baseball agent in the industry, Do you look at the new CBA, the new draft rules, and go, that was a direct shot at Scott Boras?
Well, I'm not sure if I can personalize it. I do know this. I think it's a direct shot at the American infrastructure for baseball players, and that we have Cuban players who are receiving. The goal of the draft structure was to reduce entry-level payments, and what it resulted in, it didn't result in that at all. It was $235 million, and it's gone up to well over $300. It's just that there's been a reallocation of the money that was going to American players is now going to Cuban players because the teams have plenty of money to spend on entry-level players because it's good business to do so. So they're going to go out and give unlimited amounts of money. They're going to give $30, $40 million to a Cuban player and we have American players of equal abilities, and yet they're getting probably, 20 to 30% of that, and they're getting 70% less than what a Cuban player would get. And I don't think that system is something that bodes well. We want to advance the game in America. We want young men like Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg. We want them setting examples for families that they're out there getting fair bonuses and large bonuses, and encourages families and parents to devote their sons to baseball at a very young age and commit to it because the reward is great if you're one of the exceptional. And if you remove that from the draft structure, you are artificially devaluing, and that these players sit in the locker room together. They wear the same uniforms, and they're performing at levels that players from an international jurisdiction perform, and yet the international players are getting four times as much money. So that part, I think, is something that needs to be corrected. It was something where they intended to do something, and it's worked to the detriment of scouting, because the value of scouts now is not your level that it could be, and we have restrictions on teams like the Cubs where they have to wait probably two or three extra years to be competitive because they can't go out and spend the money that they choose to spend at the entry level.
We're talking with Scott Boras. You make a legitimate point because the Cubs, for example, paid $30 million to Jorge Soler. Yoenis Cespedes gets $36 million. Yasiel Puig gets $40 million. If Chris Bryant or Steven Strasburg or Bryce Harper happened to be Cuban, they would have gotten three times what they ended up signing for, correct?
In Chris Bryant's case, I would say he would get four to five times of what he gets to sign.
Yeah, it's when you put it out that way, obviously the system has shifted. They've reallocated the assets, but I still look at it as you're the one guy that has found throughout the years a way to do your business. You always find another loophole or another way. You say, well, wait a minute, okay, you want to do this? I'm going to go this direction. And it seems like they've tried to legislate against you. Do you don't feel that way?
Well, I know this, that for over 30 years, we've had the privilege of representing great players from Greg Maddux years ago to Chris Bryant today. And it is that talent that teams covet. It is that talent that takes franchise values from when the Cubs were purchased at $800 million, you couldn't touch the Cubs for twice that today. And you have television contracts or regional television contracts and national television contracts where you're talking about in baseball it was $1 billion in revenues in 90 and you're talking $3 billion in 2000 and now it's over $8 billion that the owners are making. This is a very successful industry and it's talent driven and there are only a few men that can do what these special players do, and I'm happy. I want to participate in making the game successful. We want to participate in helping owners and players execute their contracts. And we have a history of doing that. We have a Sport Fitness Institute. We have psychologists. We work hard with the teams to make sure these contracts are fulfilled. And that is why teams do business with us. It's good business to do with the players because they have the talent. And our types of clients have the aptitude, the character to be the types of players that help franchises achieve the objectives of ownership.
Scott, you just made a statement. You said the Cubs you couldn't touch now for twice what the Ricketts family paid for them back in 2009. You really believe the Cubs are worth $1.7 billion, $1.6 billion?
Absolutely. The television contracts are forthcoming. The Dodgers are a team that was purchased for well over $2 billion and a major market franchise. There's not one that will be that I think will be touched for anything less than that as we go forward.
You also made some comments today down at Wrigley about the Biogenesis scandal that is still, you know, emerging and more is coming out. And you said that you believe people that leak names have violated the collective bargaining. How can we ever prevent leaks, whether it's in sports or outside the sports world?
Well, obviously there has to be, you know, you have to have, within the rules, you have to have a measurements and systems and in effect rules that say that if you do violate this, that you suffer the consequences of either a financial penalty or other potential rules about suspensions of the individuals that do it from their role in baseball. And so we have a joint drug agreement. It's a due process agreement. It is intended for facts to be heard, and it's intended that before players are named or falsely incriminated, that is an evidentiary hearing and an arbitrator will make a ruling. And when we have the suggestion that multiple players are involved in something without having any factual hearing, it puts a horrible scar on the game. And it creates a presumption of guilt even before the hearing has occurred. And that was absolutely not intended in the joint drug agreement. It's a confidentiality-driven agreement, and that part's been very unfortunate.
Scott, I appreciate you taking time. Last one for you. From an outside perspective, you deal with Theo and Jed. You deal with all the other teams. You've got Chris Bryant here. You've had other players come here. What is your timetable? What do you expect to see when the Cubs are competitive? And when do you think the Ricketts family starts writing checks to whether it's Jacoby Ellsbury or whoever else hits free agency?
Well, I've had many teams come to me over the years, and we've talked about their goals, and they've been at the bottom. They've, you know, Detroit losing 119 games and the Nationals losing 100 games. And they put out a timetable, and I've always said to teams, you got to develop from below, but when those players arrive in the big leagues, waiting for them should be quality veteran major leaguers to assist them to become, you know, experienced major leaguers quickly. Because if you leave those players in the major leagues alone when they're young, it's going to take them extra years because they don't have veteran players around them to teach them. So the formula for building a successful team includes signing free agents at the right time. It includes doing what the Cubs are doing currently and signing, you know, excellent young talent in the draft and putting both of those and developing those players in the minor leagues and putting all that together at a time when you're going to create the proper fit of free agents and your developmental players in the big leagues. And that's certainly proven to be very successful in Detroit and in Washington, because we've seen organizations that were at the bottom go right to the top using that formula.
I appreciate you taking time. Enjoy your time in Chicago. This is your old home because you used to be a Cub, didn't you?
I certainly did. This is a great city, and today was one of the best one of the best days in Chicago I've ever seen. It was like having San Diego weather with the Chicago and Wrigley Field environment. So it was a really, really blessing to be at the ballpark today.
All the best to you. We'll check in with you again.
Talk to you soon, Cap.
Take care. We'll see you. There he is, Scott Boras, who is the biggest name baseball agent in the industry, and he just made an unbelievable statement. He says you couldn't touch the Chicago Cubs if they were for sale for double what the Ricketts paid, $845 million.